So that's a fun parable. It's one that seems, unlike some of Jesus's parables, it's one that seems pretty obvious what he was trying to teach and what he was illustrating with that parable. Because of that, because it's a familiar one, because we know what it means, we're going to have another little opportunity to practice the strategy, the technique of Lectio Divina. I'm going to read the passage once more, and I'm going to invite you to listen just for a word or a phrase that jumps out at you, if there is one in this, what is a familiar passage, or if there is simply some feeling or emotion at some moment as you're reading that you notice within yourself, or if there's a question that comes up for you. No need to give a full interpretation, but just a simple thought, feeling, word, question that you notice within yourself as I read it again. And there will be an opportunity, if anyone is willing, there will be an opportunity to share those things afterwards. So I invite you to listen again as much as you can with fresh ears, with an open heart, to the reading of this parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves, his servants, to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "Surely they will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to Jesus, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. So is there a word or a phrase that jumped out at anyone? Anything that grabbed you in particular? And we have Freddie here with us this morning to help Bob in the back with the technical details. And Freddie is going to carry a microphone around this morning so that I don't have to repeat everything that is said among you this morning. So think for a moment about, Bob has something to share. Bob will be the first one when Freddie gets the microphone. And then I'll invite others of you if there's a word, a phrase, thought, emotion, question.
The stone. What's the stone doing in the story? All the rest of it seems to fit and make good sense. But what's this stone that's going to fall and crush? Stumble over the stone, I can understand. But what's this stone that's going to fall and crush? I don't have an answer. But you ask, so what's the first thing that leaps out?
Right.
What's this stone doing there?
Good. Okay. Thanks, Bob. Anyone else? Just a thought, a word, a feeling, a question?
It's a feeling from the first time I read it to get an idea of, for the children's message, obviously I didn't use it, rejection.
Hmm.
Rejection of the servants that come to get the harvest. Mm-hmm. Rejection of the son. Just rejection of the owner's wishes. Just rejection.
Thanks, Joyce.
So, at the beginning, when it's talking about him sending his people to go and, you know, collect for him,
mm-hmm.
and then it and they get, you know, the sad fate in which disposes them.
Mm-hmm.
Then he sends his son,
mm-hmm.
and that whole there's a thought that passes through my mind that's why are you not protecting them?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Is the value of them less than the value of the produce?
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
And how much do we pay attention to the people that we value around us?
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Thank you. Selma.
It seems to me like they're guests about what the landowner will do to them, you know, do to the people who have done this crime. Seems pretty reasonable from our point of view, I think, that they will be punished. And then Jesus doesn't like that answer.
I like how the version, the message, mm-hmm. went to it, and to me it helps a little bit more explaining like what Bob said about the rock. And so it says, this is the way it is with you. God's kingdom will be taken back from you and handed over to people who will live out a kingdom life. Whoever stumbles on the stone gets shattered. Whoever the stone falls on gets smashed. So it's like he'll take it away from the tenants that were there and give it to someone else who will. And the fact that they stumbled on the stone, his son, that they will be smashed.
Mm. Part of what's beneficial, I think, about doing inviting reflections is that we get more bang for our buck, right? These are all good thoughts. And unfortunately, I'm not going to answer Bob's question. I'm not going to. You all are raising issues that will have to be addressed 3 years from now, the next time this passage comes along in the lectionary. Because what struck me in the passage as I was thinking about it this week was the part toward the very end when the priests and the Pharisees, when Jesus asked them, what do you think is going to happen? What's the landowner going to do to these people, the tenants? And they said, they're going to put them to a miserable death. These are wretched people. They're terrible. They deserve to be punished. And then Jesus says, guess what? I'm talking about you. And they went, ah! So it struck me how easy it is for us, I'm going to include ourselves in there, to see bad behavior in other people. How easy it is, how much more preferable it is to point to other people and say, look at those terrible people, look what those bad things that they're doing, and how desirable it is for us to see and name and identify other people as bad and their behavior as bad, because it affirms for us that we are good, that what we are doing is good. So I wanted to share with you some quotes from my life, things that people have said to me. Things like, you're doing a great job. Thank you so much for your help. I couldn't have done this without you. And of course, a number of people say to me, close to me, say, I love you. And I'm very proud to share with you that these are actual quotes from my life. And I imagine that each of you could also come up with quotes like that. And when I hear things like that from people, they make my heart sing and I feel so good. I think we all love hearing positive things about ourselves. It feels good. Here are some other actual quotes. Things that people have said to me at other moments in my life. My fantasy is to go for a whole month without you criticizing me. You are just as close-minded as they are. You're just on the other side of the issue. I know that you want to help her, but what you are doing is hurting her. Those comments that have been said to me by people who care deeply about me do not make my heart sing. They make my heart ache. I don't think any of us enjoys hearing critical things about ourselves. Things that can poke a hole in this image that we have of ourselves as good and kind and loving people who mostly try to do the right thing, the caring thing, the loving thing. And for us who are sitting here this morning, I might even say the Christian thing, right? We try hard to love God, to love our neighbors, to love our family members. I think that's fair to say of each of us, of all of us. But in spite of our good intentions, we don't always manage to do the right thing. In spite of our desire to be helpful, sometimes what we do is, in fact, harmful. In spite of our best and most sincere and most genuine efforts to love others well, truth be told, sometimes the way that we show up, the way that we act, the way that we speak, the way that we are toward others, in fact, hurts them. And when someone calls us on that, we don't usually love it. We don't usually like it very much. We sometimes respond with anger or with defensiveness. Who do you think you are to say that to me? Or we might refuse to hear the criticism and push it away and think or even say, oh yeah, well, you're way worse than me. We might just shut down, closing our eyes, closing our ears to hearing anything further, unwilling to hear anything that doesn't conform to our understanding of ourselves as good and loving people. And we might tell ourselves, they're the one with the problem, not me. They don't know what they're saying. And sometimes those kinds of responses might be appropriate and healthy, and they might create a wall that protects us from deep wounding if those critical comments come from someone who cares nothing for us, who is only trying to hurt us. Sometimes that kind of response might be appropriate. But sometimes when those kinds of comments come from people who do care about us deeply, those kinds of responses can create a wall that prevents us from moving toward healing and growth. So can you see that in today's gospel? The Pharisee, the chief priest, Jesus is offering a critique, right? A criticism of them and of the way that they've been behaving. And what is their response to say, oh, thank you for pointing that out to us? No, their response is to be angry, to be defensive. They want, it says in this parable, this passage, that they want to arrest him. We know, in fact, that they not only want to arrest him, they want to kill him. Jesus is a truth teller, and they don't want anything to do, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to consider that maybe there's something that they have done that is not good and right and helpful. So part of what struck me in this passage is that sometimes if we want to grow, if we want to move toward healing, we need to hear the hard truth, the truth that hurts. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it makes our hearts ache. Sometimes it makes our hearts break. But sometimes it's in that breaking of our hearts that we're opened, that we're open to healing, that we're open to growth, that we're open to becoming more fully who God made us to be. Sometimes we're perfectly happy being where we are. Sometimes that place is with a limited and constricted spirit and limited understanding. But sometimes that's okay. Sometimes that's where we want to stay. And that's when we react with anger and defensiveness and a shutting down and a shutting out. Because it's so much easier to point our fingers at other people and to see what's bad about their words, about their actions, about their behavior. it's so much harder to see what is hurtful. I don't want to say bad, but what's hurtful in our own words and actions, what is in need of healing within ourselves, and where we participate in behaviors that are unhealthy. Jesus could see then and can see now the reality of our hearts, of the human heart, and the truth of it. And I believe that in his deep longing, deep, deep longing for healing and for wholeness for each person and for all of God's creation, he was not afraid to not only see those truths, those things that needed to be in the light, he was not afraid to name them. He would call those out. The places that were wounded in people and that were continuing to wound, the places that were contributing to hurt and darkness in the world. So those hard truths that he spoke to the religious leaders of his day, of course, were not just for the religious leaders of his day. He continues to speak them and continues to offer them and speaks them maybe even to us. And so I just invite us to consider, are we willing to hear the hard truths when they come from a place of love and care, when they have the potential to not only hurt, but to break open our hearts so that we might be more open to growth and healing? Are we willing to hear those hard truths and move toward wholeness? The chief priests, it seems, were not, and they wanted to kill him. Are we willing? Amen.